You are listening to Nevermind the Balearics. This is the Cycling Podcast, a five-part Kilometre Zero series proudly supported by Sports Tours International. My name is Lionel Burney, and over the next few days we'll cover the Challenge Mallorca, a stage race that isn't a stage race, and explore the island and its rich cycling history and culture. This series is free for all to listen to, thanks to the support of our title sponsors, Sports Tours International. Whether you want to ride or watch the best in the world in action, Sports Tours International can take you to the heart of some of the world's biggest cycling events. Whether it's a VIP experience at the Tour de France or one of the major classics, or riding events such as the Étape du Tour or Marmotte, you can travel in style with Sports Tours International. One of the most prestigious sportive events in the world is right here in Mallorca, the Mallorca 312 in late April. And you can experience the beauty of the island on completely closed roads, tackling either the full 312 kilometres or shorter 225 or 167 kilometre events. You can spend three or four nights at the group hotel Maritimo, which is right by the start-finish line. Couldn't be more convenient. Sports Tours International's experienced, friendly team will be on hand to support you throughout the stay, making you feel like a pro, for a few days at least. They'll look after you and your bike, and there'll be mechanical services too, a pre-ride briefing and a Sports Tours International cycling jersey. The trip is ABDA protected too, so if you want to tackle one of the world's greatest sportive events, let Sports Tours International take charge of all the planning and logistics, so all you have to do is enjoy the ride. Go to sportstoursinternational.co.uk for full details. Now it's on with the show. You alright, Rob?
You alright?
I hope so. I think I'm outside
Hang
number 39.
What are you? You're a million miles away.
Am I in the wrong place?
Hello? Are you outside?
Well, I hope so. It's all dark though, Rob.
Hang on a minute, hang on. I'll open the window. Shut up, can I? Oh, there he on the phone, mate. Hang on. There he is.
Where is he?
There he is. This way. Left.
Oh, there he is.
I just
went
to see if that door
slightly. Well, I found you. Oh, there we are. Is it, what, this one's 36?
Yeah, is it ajar?
Oh, yeah. In we go.
Oh, it is. Oh. It's the weirdest door ever.
Oh, it opens. It opens right into the step. So, how does. What, I mean, that defies physics. I'm too wide to get through that gap, Rob. Pull it to the side. I mean, this is extraordinary. The door opens straight into the step, and there's a gap of about, I'd say, generously 8 inches, I would say, and I'm not going to get through there. Here he comes. Oh, it's a bifold door. It folds in half. How
welcome.
You're
all right? Oh. Welcome to home of cycling.
The home of cycling. Who would have thought it would be so difficult to get in?
Well, that's the idea. Four knocks. I've got a pizza on here.
Oh,
lovely. We're not making pizza because I haven't got enough dough, but I've got one left dough to make some nice bread. How about that?
Okay.
Just while you have a beer.
Excellent.
Make yourself warm.
Oh, excellent tasting books there. You've got Graham Taylor and Sean Kelly on the show.
Oh, yeah, Rob Hales as well. They're all together. There's a reason for that.
Charlie Wagelius. Didn't write that one.
Cycling anthology.
Oh, the glory days. Well, look, I brought some beers.
Oh, excellent.
I need to go in the fridge. I went for a little selection in the supermarket.
Oh, I bought you some of them. I've just been down and bought you some. They're in the freezer.
I thought they look good. Mallorcan.
That's a local one.
Local Mallorcan. And then in honour of our very good friend Francois Thomas, I got some Cronenberg.
Actually, look at an Alhambra. This is for Fran Reyes.
Fran Reyes from Granada.
Russell Lankert. My mum's found this in a northern supermarket. How about that?
Wow.
I've never even seen it on the Spanish mainland.
It looks nice.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Rosa Blanca.
Yeah, the white rose, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
Wrong side of Pennines, that, isn't it?
It's the wrong colour.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, oh, well, seeing as the Yorkshire Derby's on tonight, Burnley versus Leeds. Sorry for swearing.
Stop it. Yeah, we don't mention football on the cycling podcast anymore.
No, we don't do that anymore. We've
pop those in the fridge.
I'll put these in the fridge.
Oh, what a nice place, Rob.
Thank you.
Oh, look at that.
Modest.
A little picture on the wall in the kitchen. Blackburn Rovers, Premier League champions, 94-95. All of the results there, written by the commentator. Someone I'm sure you take a lot of inspiration from, Clive Tildesley.
It is. It's one of the voices of our childhoods, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Nice. Yeah, look how many Shearer scored there.
Hey, I didn't have a bad season, did I? Mark Atkins, though. He was the super aqua. He was the hero, really.
I know, the pog of the time, they call him. pog on the time.
Dearie me.
That really is enough football.
Did you get your jokes from that corner shop as well?
Oh, and look at this through here. This is the training hub. The indoor bike is set up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is,
oh, and look out. And you can see out the back there. Nice.
The mountain range is up there. I mean, don't get too excited. You've got swimming pools next door. There's nothing to do with it. It's just a small two-bedroom flat. But it looks very nice, doesn't it?
I tell you what, in the evening, the church there in the square is lovely, isn't it? All lit up, beautiful. Beautiful. And it's so warm here today.
It's unseasonably warm, don't get used to this. Normally, you would be too cold to be out here in winter.
Yeah, it's weird. It's very, very weird. It feels almost like a sort of evening at the Giro.
It does.
And it's January the 26th or 25th. Anyway,
when everyone starts coming on their holidays and the tourist season starts, we'll probably be at 15 degrees and raining. Sounds low.
Well, the pizza oven's on. That smells good.
It's just some bread, though. I'll get too excited.
Okay, well,
I've got some chicken for you.
That's
how about that?
Oh, excellent.
How about that?
Excellent.
Is that all
right? Yep, perfect. Right. Perfect. Oh, we can talk Challenge Mallorca shortly.
Oh, love it.
What was that, Rob?
You've become a Mallorcan overnight. One night here, and you've got a bob hat on. It's brilliant in winter.
A bobble hat. The temperature's dipped, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's gone cold now. I'm glad you've realised.
Yeah.
So you try and tell people who visit that it never gets cold here. So they try and tell you it never gets cold here. But yes, it's a cold evening. I've got a scarf on tonight as well.
What were you expecting? The classic Brit abroad, me coming out in my shorts, Bermuda shorts, some kind of vestless top.
I've seen people in shorts here when it's been about 13 degrees, so you never know.
Oh, dear. Well, here we are, Rob. It's the night before the first race.
Yes.
And we're going for our 5 o'clock pre-dinner beer at 6 o'clock. It strikes me that everything happens a bit later here.
I was going to say, what watch are you? You still haven't changed your watch from yesterday. It's 6 o'clock. Don't paint us like we're on it on the sauce all day. Come on.
I'm not one of those, Rob.
Oh, the tram's going past. Look at that.
I do beautiful. Alter my watch when I travel abroad. I'm not one of those.
Tell you what, Lionel. Look at that wind. Look at those clouds flying above. Could be an interesting set of races the next few days.
Those clouds are moving quite quickly, aren't they?
They are.
It's windy up there. We've just walked into the very charming town square in Soyer, the beautiful church. The tram is running. I think, is this the first day the tram's been running?
First day. We've had 2 weeks of engineering works. It's not just the UK where you get that, you know.
Anyway.
We had a rail replacement bus as well.
Did
honestly.
They have a bus, yeah, did yeah. they? Excellent, excellent. Well, as I say, everything seems to happen a little bit later here. Breakfast in the hotel doesn't start till 8:30 in the morning.
Wow.
I've got to leave at 8. So
have
I'm
you?
Gonna.
Well, you might have to come to Home Cycling for breakfast then.
Well, I don't know. I was going to ask, where can I get some of those ensaymadas?
Ensaymadas, yeah, the bakeries will be up nice and early.
A lovely, light, brioche-style bread. Not greasy at all. Lovely, lovely bread. But made with pork fat, lard.
Yes.
But not good for the vegans and vegetarians.
I was going to say that they probably don't tell you what's in it, actually. I think certain people who visit Mallorca, you know, if they're not allowed to eat pork and things like that, they've got to be fairly careful because you don't see any warnings on it. But yes, ensaymadas are lovely if
you're allowed to consume pork products.
Well, yeah, I thought once you told me that it was made with lard, I could really taste that sort of meaty flavour to the dough. Very light, fluffy dough, dusted with icing sugar.
But you can fill them with all sorts of different things. They do apricot ones, they do fig ones when the figs are in season. But mainly, it's a sort of a sweet filling called cabello de angel. In local parlance, or even, look, you've got some music playing on your phone there. It started playing. You've been listening to my automated speaker for too long. Siri started playing all your music. What else? Oh, they've got chocolate filling, cream filling, all sorts going on. In Taimada is really sort of alongside sobrasada, which is a sort of sausage, a spicy sausage, if you like. I'm probably doing it a disservice calling it that, but it's one of the sort of emblematic bits of cuisine from Mallorca.
Oh, that sounds right up my street. I'm a shambles, to be honest, Rob. I feel like I've been sort of dropped back into the world of professional cycling after 14 months away from bike racing. And
I'll feel that tomorrow. It's my first commentary of the season. I'll be trying to guess which kit's which. I'll be calling some rider in a team with a different name. You know, Astana, they're now XDS Astana. Oh, so what am I going to do?
I mean, this is traumatic for me. I've failed to charge everything up. I've lost cables, all sorts. I mean, it's just it's like having a little practice grand tour experience here at the end of January. The Challenge Mallorca, the men's race, starts tomorrow. Now, this is a stage race that isn't a stage race because it's actually 5 one-day races, not a stage race. There still is an unofficial general classification, isn't there, or the overall winner is recognised, but you have to complete all 5 of the races to qualify for that, obviously.
Not many do nowadays, not many, right? No. Only really domestiques end up doing that job now.
Indeed. So, I mean, for the teams, it probably the ideal race to kick off the season with, isn't it? Because they can do a training camp here on the island and then keep a larger group together, not just cut it down to 6 riders or 7 riders to start the race. And they can give a larger group of riders a bit of competitive action early on. The riders can drop in and out, taking part in, you know, whichever races they want or whichever races the team want them to take part in. So you tend to see the sprinters do the flatter ones and the climbers do the hillier ones, obviously. I wanted to ask you, though, Rob, the first edition in 1992, won by Javier Murgialdi, the overall unofficial classification. He is now the race director.
Yeah, in charge of the race. It's an interesting one because obviously so much focus on cycling in Mallorca is either on the track, as we talked about, or it's also on these mass participation events. So you don't really hear too much about the machine, the workings behind the race itself, because we're all occupied with, you know, building up to the bigger races. So it's nice to get a bit of the insight. And then I guess, you know, people have been involved since the beginning. It's nice to see them involved now.
Yeah. The you mentioned the track. We dropped in at the track on our way up to Soyer yesterday. We'll hear that a little bit later in the week about our trip to the velodromes, old and new. That first edition, 1992, and the two that followed it. So the first 3 years of this race was only open to Spanish teams. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. Can't have that, can we?
Well,
that's not exactly attracting the world to the island.
Well, foreign riders could take part as long as they were part of a Spanish team.
Right, okay.
So it wasn't until 1995 that they opened it up to foreign teams. And, I mean, in the history of the race, you know, like a lot of races in Europe, early season races maybe got eclipsed a little bit by the Tour Down Under, the races in the Middle East. But it's had a real resurgence in recent years, hasn't it? One of the things that was unusual was that it wasn't at all impacted by the pandemic. The January 2020 or February 2020 edition happened before the COVID crisis, and they were able to hold the race again in 2021. But really, since 2022, it's had a kind of new lease of life. There's a lot of sponsorship from Illes Balears, the tourist. I guess it's a kind of conglomeration of different interests that contribute to selling Mallorca, but the Balearic Islands more generally to the world as tourist destinations. And the race now has live TV coverage every day as well.
Yeah, when I started commentating, even until, 3 or 4 years ago, there used to be sort of a 15-minute highlights package put together. It wasn't the greatest, most production that was full of the most quality, let's say. You know, you had these strange images played and of a beautiful sunny day of a picture of the beach.
That, yes.
And then they sort of cut to the race and it was lashing down with rain or something. It was snowing up in the mountains. But it is nice to see, you know, the increased coverage. You can tell the story that little bit better. We've generally got 1.5 to 2 hours live coverage each day now, and I think we start tomorrow at about 2:30 local time, so 1:30 back in UK time, and I think on the schedule they're around 2 hours of coverage, so looking forward to that.
I remember sitting watching it thinking, well, Mallorca looks lovely as long as you film it on a sunny day. And as you say, I was wondering, am I watching a sports broadcast or am I watching an advert for the Mallorcan Tourist Board? Probably a bit of both, really.
Yeah, and it's funny, strange anecdote. I remember back in the days before we were able to broadcast remotely, I remember going to do the 15-minute programme, flying to London to do it from Mallorca, because we just didn't have the ability to do those things.
And now the Home of Cycling, you broadcast from home, from your little home office there. Mm. Very professional-looking setup, if I may say so. Now, can you run me through the 5 different races? I'll get this as my pronunciation guide for the week. So what have we got? Wednesday, we've got the first race, which is
Trofeo Calvià. Now, Calvià is sort of the municipality where the famous resort Magaluf is found. We're going just down the road in Palma Nova to the finish there. Now, that's a day where there's plenty of climbing. It's up and down all day, but it's not the hardest or steepest day. Not too much flat, but it's open, as we saw last year, to breakaways and attacks at any time. The day after, we go to a different side of the island, south-southeast of the island. That is the Trofeo Salinas, or if you want to get really into this, Lionel, are you ready? It's Trofeu, if you say it in Mallorcan. So Trofeu in Spanish, Trofeu in Mallorcan. So that this year finishes in a place called Colonia de Sant Jordi. It's going to go past one of the most beautiful beaches in the whole of Europe called Estrenc. I've been there in summer, and it's like what I imagine being in the Caribbean to be like, the colour of the water. It's absolutely beautiful. That, I think, is one for the sprinters. It certainly was last year. It was the scene of the first victory for Paul Meunier on day one of his pro career. The next day, well, they go through where we're standing. Trofeo Tramuntana. Tramuntana is the name of the mountain range on the west, sort of goes all the way from the southwest to the northwest of the island. Lots of the most famous climbs. That's where you find the likes of Calabria, Puigmayor, Coll de Soia, which is climbed 3 times from different sides throughout the week. This year's Trofeo Tramuntana is slightly easier finish. It's finished up in Duke, high up near the old monastery in the middle of the mountain range last year. Won by Lennart van Eemfelt, remember, against Vlasov, who was there, and McNulty. This time, most of the climbing's done before the last 25Ks, which is then flat or undulating. So that could be a different race this year. That used to be, by the way, the Alejandro Valverde, Tim Wellens Classic that they seem to win each and every year. We go to the weekend then, Andrade Pollença, again they come through Soia, and they do the whole of that beautiful road that sort of hugs the rocks and cliffs that go off the corner and into the Mediterranean Sea. It is a spectacular race, and that finishes down in Pollença. And to finish up, we can expect a sprint when we go to Palma, I think.
Absolutely. That dog barking in the background brought back all of my anxieties about recording podcasts out in the wild, and we get a bit of everything. Scooters going past, dog barking. If it carries on, we're going to have to pay it an appearance fee, I think. So let's let's go and find somewhere for a pre-dinner drink.
Sounds good.
Rob, as we search for a bar here, can I tell you my favourite Challenge Mallorca anecdote?
Please do.
I've been trailing this one, haven't I? back in 2009, I was in the Columbia HTC team car at Gent-Wevelgem.
Right.
It was the year that Edvald Boasenhagen won, in filthy conditions, and I was travelling in the back seat alongside the team mechanic, and in the front driving the car was the sports director, Brian Holm, alongside another of the sports directors, Eric Zabel. And I was just sort of asking some softening up questions about the job of sports director. At the time, I was trying to write a bit about how much the sports director can influence a race from the team car. So I wanted to kind of get a view of the race from the cockpit. Now, they were talking about how the public seemed to think that the riders are all sort of remote controlled and that the sports directors
like
are
PlayStation cycling.
Exactly,
sort of thing.
PlayStation cycling, and that the sports directors are calling the shots minute by minute. And to illustrate the fact that that isn't perhaps the case, Brian Holm told a story about that year's Challenge Mallorca. Of course, we've established that the riders can drop in and out and take part in the different races.
It's a pick and mix race, isn't it?
A pick and mix race, exactly. And they had race radios at the time. They were allowed to use the radios. And the team car was, you know, miles back behind the peloton. And on one of the races, whoever else was likely to be contesting the sprint had given the nod to the team car that they weren't up to it. So Brian Holm got on the radio with sort of 20k to go and said to their rider, Marcel Seeberg, big German lead out man, really, but a fast
now
finisher.
Now a sports director?
Yeah. And said, okay, CB, it's all for you today. Okay, CB, we're going to make the sprint for you. Okay, guys, make the sprint for CB. And they're getting to the last 10k. Okay, positioning, keep it good, guys. Okay, you know, keep near the front, guys. Come on, CB, all for you. And then they're in the, they've got no TV pictures because it wasn't broadcast, so they don't know what's going on. And Brian, you know, into the last 5K, 2K, come on, CB, all for you. Come on, CB, you got this. You can win this. You can win this. It wasn't until they crossed the line they realised that Seeberg was back at the hotel. He hadn't started the race. He hadn't been in the race. He was taking the day off or doing his own training. So I was kind of came away from that race with a very different idea of the practical application of race radio. And another one on the race radio theme, talk about a stage race that isn't a stage race. Well, there was a race winner that wasn't a race winner in 2011 because the riders protested about the proposed ban by the UCI, which would have banned race radios, especially from the lower classification races. It was a big talking point at the time, wasn't it, that, and the riders said they were going to use the radios anyway, so the UCI commissaires stepped down and the race organisers brought in local club members, I guess, to be the jury. The race went ahead. Tyler Farrer of the United States won the race, but it didn't count. So there we go. Stage race that isn't a stage race, and a race that isn't a race.
But it's not the Charity Shield. It's the Trofeo Carranza, which is the Spanish equivalent.
So, I have arrived in Palma Nova for the start of the Trofeo Calvia, the first of the 5 one-day races that makes up this Challenge Mallorca. I'm on a sort of commercial estate, really. There's a big Aldi supermarket there, and I've just had a coffee in a modern-ish cafe over there. There's about an hour and a quarter, perhaps an hour and a half until the start of the race, and there's very little sign that professional bike race is going to get underway from here. Perhaps I'm in the wrong place. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time. I'm pretty confident, though, because I've seen some signs for the Vuelta Ciclista a Mallorca, but I will nevertheless be relieved when I see one of the team buses roll in. Perhaps it will be UAE Team Emirates or EF Education Easy Post or Caja Rural or whoever it happens to be. I will be quite relieved to see them roll in. I think they're going to come in on that top road there up by the roundabout. So Palma Nova pretty obviously translates as New Palma, and this was the first purpose-built tourist resort on the island of Mallorca, sprung up with indecent haste really in the 1960s in a response to the boom in mass tourism brought about by jet air travel becoming much more affordable. And it became very popular very quickly with the British, this corner of the island, but also people visiting from other parts of Europe and mainland Spain. Now, before that, this town and the resort along from here, Magaluf, which has a reputation all of its own, were little more than small fishing villages. And this corner of the island, Calvia, was really rural and quiet until that boom in tourism. In fact, in the late 1950s, the Hollywood star Gary Cooper was staying at the Hotel Formentor, which is right over the other side on the sort of northern tip of Mallorca. And he asked a taxi driver to take him to the quietest beach on the island. And the taxi driver took him to Magaluf. I'm not sure it would qualify as the quietest part of Mallorca these days, especially in the height of summer. very different nowadays. I'm actually standing next to a crazy golf course, safari themed crazy golf course, it looks like. It's not open at the moment, but I imagine that gets fairly busy in the summer. Anyway, not long till the race gets started, and I'm quite keen to try and speak to a German expat, can I put it that way, who has made Mallorca his home for the last number of years. It's a sports director who works with the EF Education Easy Post team, Andreas Kalia. So I'm going to go in search of their pink team bus. Andreas, I wanted to ask you about Mallorca because you've made the island your home. How long have you been here, and what's life like on the island?
16 years. I live here since 16 years, and my kids grew up here. Left the house now, so it's just my wife and me, and we still love the island. We still love the life here.
What brought you here in the first place? Why did you choose Mallorca when, as a professional cyclist, I guess you saw lots of places and you could have chosen anywhere?
No, in the past it was as following that I had a training house here, because after all those hotels I've been in for training camps, races, etc., I just wanted to have a spot where I can train in good weather but also sleep in my own house. That's how it started. And that time I lived in Belgium, and then my wife and myself, we decided to leave Belgium, and there were two possibilities: go back to where we came from, Munich, which is also nice, or let's just give it a try and move to Spain, Mallorca. And that's what we did. Kids went to school, and now they are grown-ups, bilingual, and you know, my son is actually standing behind you, so yeah.
He's working with the team now, your son, so it's like a little family business you've got going here.
No, I wouldn't go that far. He's studying media, and it's just a job here and there, right? So yeah.
And what about life on the island? What is it that appeals to you about the lifestyle, the pace of life? Obviously the weather is good.
Obviously, I only can speak for myself. I get the feeling that I'm not living on an island. Whatever pressing need I have to, let's say you want to construct something, build a house, and you want to choose out of windows, you can choose out of the same amount of windows as if you would build a house in Chelsea, right? You can buy a Fiat, or you can buy, I don't know, a Ferrari if you want to. The possibilities are given the same as it would be in Madrid or in London and so on. So I never get the feeling that I'm on an island, but the positive part of it is for me that the area I live, I also don't feel the difference between the tourism period and the off-season. So I just live in an area where people go in the morning to work, and you stand in a traffic jam if you go towards Palma, and just normal life, and normal life with this, you know, weekend 4-hour window where you say, let's enjoy. And if you go then to a market or to the ocean with the dog in the off season, or swimming, or in the summer, whatever you do, you can.
So it's an island for every man, every woman. You could drive a Bugatti, or you could drive a little Citroen if you want. Whatever you feel at home in Mallorca, it's home to every type of person, I guess.
I would say so, yeah. Obviously, things are getting now more and more expensive, and like everywhere in Europe, I guess. But yes, I would say yes is the answer.
And what about this race in particular? For a lot of guys, it's their first race of the season. It's quite relaxed, it feels here, but also it has a unique format which makes it appealing for the teams, I suppose.
I think it's a great race. As you pointed out, it's the first race for many of the riders. So it's this moment where everybody says, yeah, 2 weeks ago I rode my personal best in whatever, 2 minutes, 3 minutes effort. So everybody on the start line still has a hope that they can win today or tomorrow, or right, until reality hits them in March around, right? Sun is shining, that helps. Parkour is brilliant. I think it's the 34th time they do the race. Sort of has a little bit of a history. I think it's great. Also those roads to race on is good parkour. I think we're going to get good racing, and it's a good start into the season.
So how many riders in total do you have here, and how do you pick who does which race? I guess you have to sit down and work out day by day who's going to start.
Correct, that's what we did. I mean, today's a little bit more hilly. Tomorrow it's pan flat, I would say. So tomorrow we try to set our sprinter there. He's resting today. In total, we are 13 riders. We have 10 pros and 3 Devo riders. The Devo riders will race 4 and 5. Based on profile, I would say we pick the riders.
Did you ride it yourself?
Yes.
Many times?
Don't ask me how many, but yes, I many times.
Any memories that stick in your mind?
Not really. I mean, the very first one I rode with a second division team in 1990, whatever, 6 or something. And somehow, in that time, it was a stage race, and I had the yellow jersey, but I lost it the last stage and only finished second. Yeah, that was a good time, you know, sprinting against like the Vandenbroek and Museo people in that time as a small little chubby kid. That was quite cool, I have to say.
Todo preparado, no nos queda más que escuchar de fondo esta buena música que nos anuncia la inminente salida de nuestros ciclistas. Comenzamos ya la cuenta atrás con el 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, salida. Se pone en marcha la 34ª edición de la Challenge Ciclista Mallorca Garden Hotels Luxcom. Lo hacemos desde Calvia, lo hacemos desde Palma Nova, con 150 kilómetros de recorrido que van a tener nuestros ciclistas en el día de hoy.
Well, you may hear the wind has got up a little bit where I am now. I've come to Valldemossa, a small corrections corner, because I don't want to incur a sanction from the pronunciation police. I don't want to get a yellow card this early into the Challenge Mallorca. So I think I said earlier Valldemossa with a hard L sound, but that double L is pronounced with a Y, so Valldemossa. And I've come here partly because the race comes through here a little bit later this afternoon, but also because I was told it's a very picturesque upmarket little town. And well, I've not been misled, it's beautiful and it does feel very well healed here, even more so perhaps than Soya. Certainly quieter, feels a lot more out of season here, but I bet this gets very busy with tourists in the holiday season. Absolutely beautiful buildings, this kind of very pale brown, almost yellowish stone that they use for the buildings, very attractive, kind of means that it matches the mountainside of the Tramuntura, which runs up this western side of the island. And I can see that just behind the buildings, the sort of rocky mountains just behind us. So the race will come through here. We're at about 400 metres, so that's why it's a bit chilly. I've got my bobble hat back on. Rob would be very proud. But Valldemossa is also famous because it's where the pianist and composer Frédéric Chopin came with his lover, George Sand, which was the nom de plume of the French writer Aurore Dudevant. And they came here for the winter of 1838-39, spent about 3 months here. And well, I don't think Chopin had the best experience of Valldemossa, because he spent a lot of time complaining about the weather and the local cuisine, apparently. I'm not sure what he complained about. It's been very nice so far. He was under pressure from his publishers to produce some new music, and he was working on a substandard old piano that was just here. And so he arranged for a piano to be imported from Paris, and it arrived only a couple of weeks before Chopin and George Sand actually left the island. And they left the piano here because they paid the duty to have it imported, but they didn't want to pay the duty again to export it back to Paris. And so the piano is here, and it's in a museum just behind me. So I could go in and have a look. I'm not sure it's open. I think it might be closed for lunch. This is a piece of music by Chopin, known popularly as Raindrop. It's one of 24 Chopin preludes written here in Valldemossa, and one of his most famous works. Well, here we are, Rob, back in Soyer. Well, you've not left Soyer today. You've been commentating at the home of cycling. I've had my first taste of the hipsters tour down under.
Have you? The hipsters tour down under, have you?
That's what I'm thinking of it. Producer Tom came up with that one. Huh? I'm quite happy to credit him.
You were close to the hipsters Secolobra today, in by the Mossa, my favourite climb on the island. Again, rather like Secolobra, the race won't go down it because it's sort of a dead end at the bottom. But beautiful little climb, Port de Valldemossa.
Well, I do feel like I've seen pretty much the extremes that Mallorca can throw at you, because from Palma Nova to Valldemossa, you've got two very, very distinct sides of the island there. One I really, really loved. The other,
I wonder which one that was.
The other, not really my cup of tea. I've never been a sort of beach and beers holiday person. Well, I like beaches and beers, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes,
I mean, Magaluf and Palma Nova, big holiday resorts with loads of people, very highly developed. Almost impossible to believe that within 30 kilometres you can have such a distinct change. We'll maybe talk about the tourism on the island in tomorrow's episode. I drove back on that coast road through Deia, and honestly, with the sun shining and the sea shimmering away in the breeze, I really wished I'd had my bike with me. I would have loved those smooth roads, wind behind me. I can see why it's such a popular place to come and ride your bike. I also had a little taste of sobrasada, the sausage.
Did you?
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Maybe we'll get some. I think it'd be better barbecued, grilled.
Do you know
right?
what? This is bonfire time of the year. San Antonio is, you know, one of the big patron saints of the island, and around this time of year, there's a lot of bonfires to celebrate Sant'Antonio. And I think, even though Sant'Antonio's been and gone, I heard a rumour last night that there's still one in the market square on either Friday or Saturday night, I think it might be. So if we're lucky, we might be able to have a little bit of, because you normally take your little sobrasada or your sausage or whatever, chew a little bits of sort of pork belly and stuff like that, go down, barbecue it yourself. And these sort of public barbecues set up rather like, it's a bit like a bonfire night on the 5th of November, but with a little bit of food in as well, instead of the fireworks and the kids running round.
Lovely, lovely. I'll look forward to that. That sounds like the hipsters Sant'Anton.
The hipsters bonfire night.
Yeah, hipsters bonfire night. But let's talk about the race then today. I really didn't see an awful lot of it at all. I probably saw the little frisson of excitement the moment when Nairo Quintana, and I think it was Roger Adria.
Yeah, Roger Adria, yeah.
I couldn't see his number on the back, but it was.
You mean you weren't listening to me and Adam Blythe tearing me?
I wasn't actually, no. I'm really sorry about that.
I have a word with you, sir.
I was waiting. I wanted the moment. I wanted my first sight of the 2025 racing season to be, you know, I can't even say that, can I? Because I've watched the Tour Down Under on TV. I'm getting myself in knots here. No, I waited to see it with my own eyes. Brilliant. They came flying past me. And, I mean, it looked like it had broken up a fair bit because there'd been that crash, hadn't there, on the descent?
Yeah, coming down Coi de Soia. I think Garcia Pierna was the rider, having since seen on the social media and what have you, who came off the worst from Arkea. I think he's going to be all right, but he needed a bit of medical attention. He then came back on the flat going up to a place called Cisgleta, which is right at the base of the pretty steep but straight climb up to Valldemossa. Isn't the prettiest climb in the world at the start because you sort of don't see much. It sort of feels like, you know, the hills are climbing above you, but you're not moving. In fact, the gradient goes up quite sharply to above 10%. And then it certainly opens up and you see the church, you see Valldemossa, which is a beautiful, beautiful town.
It certainly is, yeah. Well, tell us, Rob, what actually happened? Because it was another win for UAE Team Emirates, wasn't it, in the end?
It was, and it was a win for Jan Christen. Already three bike wins in his career. He's only 20. He's the latest of yet another next generation for UAE Team Emirates. They've just got a production line of the riders, haven't they? But I think this was his biggest win. Yeah, I know, you know, we've talked about all realistic terms this week that Challenge Mallorca isn't the biggest event of the season, is it? It's sort of getting going for what it is. But you should have seen who he was up against today, the big names. This was a big win for him. And I think he has to give a big thanks to Antonio Morgado, who raced beautifully. He chased down Mark Hirschi as if his life depended on it towards the end of the day, and he stuck on his wheel. He didn't let him go anywhere. And of course, Kristen had to deal with both Scaroni of XDS Astana. Again, we saw up the front hunting in packs, hunting in numbers, and Frederik Vandeel, who was alone for a while for Red Bull Boro Hansgrohe. Worth noting that Red Bull Boro Hansgrohe are the team that probably know these roads more recently better than anybody else, because they've been out there and they've been doing a training camp here, I think, at least twice, perhaps three times in the last couple of months. So they've ridden a lot here. Vandeel, I think, spends quite a bit of his time in winter on the island anyway. He was away looking good for his first pro win, but no. When they got to the three up on what I've renamed as Rui Costa Street, because he always seems to be involved there, by this year, just on the outskirts of Palmanova, it was that one attack that did for Scaroni and Vandeel. And, well, Kristen, he was a very, very good winner.
Yeah, you say that about XDS Astana. We talked about it in the regular podcast. They something that was in L'Équipe, an interview with Alexander Vinokourov, the boss of the team that Daniel drew my attention to earlier today, which is that they've got a data analyst identifying where they may have most luck with their types of riders, picking off these points they need to avoid relegation from the World Tour. They had Clément Champoussin up there as well. He drifted backwards towards the end. But like you say, that's another two in the top seven. Mm. But then look at that, in eighth place, Alex Aramburu of Cofidis, kind of stealing a few points back the other way.
Yeah.
So while we're waiting for the kind of narratives of the season to unfold, this is quite a nice little sideshow, I think. Jan Christen, you mentioned, I think he's the kind of unofficial leader of the unofficial classification for the Challenge Mallorca. 110 riders finished today, so only 110 riders left in contention. Ooh. See how many of them start and finish tomorrow to keep up the 100% record. I'll try and keep tabs on that over the course of the week. But he's certainly winning the Christen family classification
we
as well.
Mentioned that on air.
Because his brother, Fabio, of Q36.5, was a pretty decent 13.
And there was one or two instances coming up the Col de Sagramola, the last major climb, really, coming away from the seaside and over the mountains back towards the flat, where Fabio Christen was attacking. He was away, and for a while it looked as though Fabio Christen was going to be winning the Christen classification, and perhaps more, but no, it was a great duel between them as well.
Well, we'll see how that one unfolds over the remaining 4 days. I think that's it for episode one of Never Mind the Balearics. This is the Cycling Podcast. This episode was produced by Tom Wally. We'll be back again tomorrow. Cheers, Rob.
Fins demà. See you tomorrow. Hasta mañana.
The Cycling Podcast was created in 2013 by Richard Moore, Daniel Creed, and Lionel Burney.